Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, the one big news show of this past week is Almost Famous. Now, it's based on Cameron Crowe's 1973 movie. Now, this one is a mixed bag. It got slammed by the New York Times and, frankly, most critics. And it once again brings up the difficult challenge of turning a fine and timely, then, a movie into a current stage play. Now, this one is certainly not awful, but it does feel flat, too much like an Evan Hansen wannabe. There are some good, if obvious, lines about the long odds of Mick Jagger still being around 50 years from then, and one about telephones, of course. I'm not sure who Almost Famous is for. I guess boomers like me and those who enjoyed the movie, but some things are truly best left where they were. The theater was filled. I will say there were also long lines for the previews of A Beautiful Noise about Neil Diamond. That one also is geared to boomers, also in previews, but with many more recognizable songs. Meanwhile, let's look forward. Some exciting projects. I may have mentioned this before, but I'm so excited. Nathan Lane will return to Broadway this winter, starring in a new play called Pictures from Home. It's about the relationship between a photographer and his aging parents. Danny Burstein and Zoe Wanamaker are also part of what seems like a sterling cast. Now, I have been discussing the increasing number of shows making their way from the West End to New York. I mentioned Back to the Future, which I saw in London and which will arrive in 2023 on Broadway. And now Life of Pi will also premiere in New York beginning in March. This was a 5-time Olivier Award winner. Also on its way is a one-woman piece called Prima Facie, starring Jodie Comer. That one, which deals with rape, will arrive on Broadway in the spring. Now, because I don't have more specific shows to discuss this week, I thought I'd draw attention to the rather hefty, newish group of books about theater out there. For starters, 20 years after Al Hirschfeld's final illustration for the New York Times, The American Theater as Seen by Hirschfeld arrives alongside an inaugural exhibition. That one is at the long-anticipated opening of the Museum of Broadway. That's in Times Square, as it should be. Other notable new reads or recent reads include Finale, a series of interviews with Stephen Sondheim done in his last years. Mary Rogers' memoir, Shy, co-written with the New York Times' Jesse Green. The Letters of Oscar Hammerstein, those to and from Mary's father's composing partner, if you can follow that. Not to mention memoirs over the past year from Mel Brooks, Harvey Firestein, Gabriel Byrne, and most recently, method-trained Paul Newman's The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Man, just as the Actors Studio, of which Newman was a part, celebrates its 75th year. The books are about more than shows, of course, but rather about the people who pour their lives into them. Jesse Green told me, Shy is about how a woman who finds her strength in response to and revolt against her world and family. The particulars give the story flavor, but its heart is in the struggle, which should be familiar to anyone. Todd S. Purdom is best known as a political journalist, but he chose to spend a few years on Something Wonderful about the complicated relationship of Oscar Hammerstein, and Richard Rogers, Mary's father. I'd always loved their music and just wanted a break, Purdom told me. As I wrote, I also came to realize that Rogers and Hammerstein's work is quite political in the small p sense. South Pacific was 1949's version of How to Be an Anti-Racist, and even The Sound of Music is the story of an individual stand against fascism, end quote. Likewise, D.T. Max, who writes for The New Yorker, felt Stephen Sondheim was worth yet another celebration. He stood for sophistication and poise, but he was also about great generosity, says Max. I'm hoping the book makes readers feel they too are in the room with him. At a time we all feel like we've been let out of a cave, end quote. In the memoir corner, Mel Brooks' autobiography has likely done the best, not just among readers, but for the producer's creator himself. Writing that book got him through COVID, says his son, Max Brooks. For an extrovert like him who lives for live events and seeing friends, lockdown couldn't have been more brutal. The book gave him a reason to get up in the morning, to stay focused and keep his mind sharp. And believe me, it still is, end quote. The other thing I have been writing about are solo or monologue shows. Now, a lot are up right now, including Gabriel Byrne's Walking with Ghosts, based on that memoir. Mike Birbiglia's latest offering is in previews at Lincoln Center. And along returns Joan Didion's Year of Magical Thinking. Now, that was originally Vanessa Redgrave performing it on Broadway. Now, Kathleen Chalifant, one of our best actresses, is performing it around the city in living rooms and community spaces whose seating capacity ranges from 12 to 35. I met Chalifant recently. I asked her what it's like being up there by herself. Exhilarating and lonely, she said. Now, on that note, a shocking and sad death this past week. Tony, Oscar, and Emmy-nominated writer Doug McGrath, who was starring in his own one-man piece called Everything is Fine, I reviewed that here, just passed away at the age of 64. He was a lovely man, a large circle of friends in every way, and none of those who knew him is feeling fine upon hearing of his passing. The show's director, John Lithgow, who also did a one-man show a few seasons back, was deeply saddened when he heard the news while on a set in Los Angeles. Lithgow is in Los Angeles, as I mentioned, working on a large arts project for PBS. Well, I am in Los Angeles, too, for a while now. But Jill, as you know, I will try to keep up to date on cultural happenings on both coasts.
And how active is the theater happening in on the left coast?
Well, I just arrived, to be honest, 2 days ago, but it's pretty active. I've got a few invitations already. They're doing The Inheritance, that long two-parter that was, of course, done on Broadway. They're doing that at the Geffen Playhouse. I don't know. There's stuff going on, and they do have a theater scene out here, mostly downtown LA, Center Theater Group. They have something called Pantages on Broadway or Hollywood on Broadway, something like that, where they're doing To Kill a Mockingbird right now with Richard Thomas. So, you know, a lot of it is imported from New York, don't get me wrong. But they have a very active, original, small theater community here. So, you know, I'll be checking that out.
Oh, absolutely. And I just also remember, there was, you know, as New York comes back to life, I'm just wondering what the LA story is, because that was always in its own interesting way an adjunct to what was going on Broadway.
Yeah, I would say that's true. They send a few things.
It goes back and forth, and then there's pilot season, and you know, there's that whole there was that whole swappery. So
yeah, there's also a lot of stuff going on that's way too complicated to talk about the unions and equity. I happened to be at a gathering yesterday, and there were theater people there talking to me about the battles over equity and how actors have to be paid or can't get paid. It was really interesting. They also were talking about something called, what do they call it, when you audition from home. Oh, I always forget the name of it. That's become very popular now. Instead of going in for an audition, you send your tape, self-tapes, they call them self-tapes. And these actors, who are pretty active actors, by the way, on both coasts, But they say these self-tapes are horrible, but that's what most casting directors are asking for now.
You know what that reminded me of first thing? I'm sorry. Do you remember those trailers, those writers? Like every writer was doing their trailer, their book trailer?
Yes.
Well, I had an opinion about that, you can do anything. Let me say this. If I were in the casting business, unless people were sending those in on analog, I wouldn't trust 30 seconds of it.
Well, that's what the actors are saying. They were furious about them, and they're either refusing to do. I mean, one of these guys has starred on Broadway. He's been on 50 television shows. He said, "Why should I be doing a self-tape? They should be calling me and asking if I'm available." But I don't know. It's a complicated. Very complicated time in the theater world.
I would say that that's a very diplomatic word because that's just that is. I'm all for eradicating the casting couch aspect. That's fine, but not actually looking with your own eyes at someone who is singing and dancing and performing. But looking at it through a screen and then thinking that that's going to translate when you put up a show, I mean, that's just as foolish as New Coke.
I've talked to people who've done their self-tapes in bathrooms, and that's because they say they get the best
acoustics.
Acoustics in the bathroom.
Well, everybody knows that about singing. But that was the fun of singing in a shower. It was great. But
yesterday was like my first day in LA, and there I am talking to theater people at an event, which was a lot of fun, and I already got some news there. And then I had dinner with a man who's doing a project with John Lithgow, and he happened to tell me that he was with Lithgow when this news came in about Doug McGrath, who was not only his good friend, but he had just directed his one-man show. And you can imagine the shock. I mean, the show went and Lithgow went on and did his work, but I'm sure he went home and cried. That was a really, I don't want to make too big of a deal about it, but this man was dearly, dearly beloved, was an incredible person. I interviewed him like a week ago. Then I ran into him on the street. We had a great chat, and he was walking to the theater to do a show. And apparently had a heart attack. I don't know what to say. All I can say is count your blessings and enjoy every day.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.